Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op deze zonovergoten zondagmorgen. Fijn dat u en dat jij kijkt naar dit programma wat wereldwijd door zo'n 40 miljoen mensen vandaag zal worden bekeken. Dominee Schoeler spreekt over zelfs al ga ik door een dal. En ik denk dat een heleboel mensen zich daarin herkennen, ook in deze vakantietijd. Want het kan wel eens zijn dat je wat anders aan je hoofd hebt dan vakantie. Bijvoorbeeld dat je doodziek bent of dat er iets gebeurd is waarin je denkt, nou, hoe kom ik eruit? Nou, met Gods hulp kom je uit het dal, want zijn hand leidt je. En daarover gaat de preek van vanmorgen. Als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland, Betty Ruigrok. Een trouwe kijker van Hour of Power. Ik had het al over vakantie. Zij was op vakantie in Namibië en werd daar getroffen door het leed van de kinderen. En haar vakantie veranderde daar totaal. En wat er gebeurde, hoor je straks in Hour of Power. Waar ook Sheila Wals vertelt en zingt over haar leven. Kortom, een boeiende uitzending. En daarom snel naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
God's people said, wow. Last night, my father called me up and said, Robert, I'm not going to be able to be in church tomorrow morning. I'm just not feeling well. And I said, well, that's okay, Dad. I can handle it. And I got here, and he's here. So God does good things. And so I want you to reach out to those who are standing next to you and behind you and shake their hand and say, God loves you, and so do I. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your hand is at work this very moment in the lives of your people. And so as your child, we stand before you today in prayer. And we pray that you'll continue to touch our hearts and our minds with the realization of your goodness and your love. That you'll comfort us, that you'll love us, that you'll give us your peace. And so we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen.
may be seated. Maybe I should not have come this morning. I have, what do you call it, laryngitis? What do you do when you get something like this? You too. Let's all do it. I need all the prayer I can get. This morning the reading is from Psalm 121. I will lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. He will not allow our feet to be moved. Isn't that fantastic? Behold, he who keeps you, you shall neither slumber nor sleep. It's fantastic. My normal nighttime is 4 to 5 hours sleep. Then I wake, and I'm awake for probably an hour or two. And I do nothing but think and pray and listen. Wow, because God's awake. And nobody else is going to interrupt my prayer at 1 o'clock in the morning. He who keeps you shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you. Just remember that when you worry about your future. And some of you are under chemotherapy, and I see you. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Oh, God. That's what it means to be saved. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. From this time forward and forevermore. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy and inspired word. My guest this morning is someone that I'm so honored to meet because I've heard of her and I've known of her work, but I've never had the privilege of introducing her or being with her before, and hope we can have her back more often. Now, when she was on the Oprah show the last time, she had a whole hour, and Oprah had the power to give her the whole 60 minutes, but I don't have that today. So, unfortunately, we are limited in time, but I want you to listen carefully. She's a graduate of Stanford University. She has a very admirable education, a marvelous career as a journalist, and has had best-selling books in the New York Times best-selling list. But I think her greatest compliment is that she is happily married and has four wonderful children and still had time to write another book. The book is entitled, I Am My Mother's Daughter. And here she is, in person, Iris Krasno.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Thank you. I'm the author of Surrendering to Motherhood, Surrendering to Marriage, Surrendering to Yourself. And there were people who thought, I am my mother's daughter, making peace with mom before it's too late. Could have been called Surrendering to Your Mother. But, you know, when I talk about this notion of surrendering in my first three books, a lot of women, people, I guess I write mostly for the women audience, but there's a lot of healing power for men and everybody in these books. And I talk about yielding to the higher power of love and commitment in your relationships. And surrendering to motherhood was the commitment to be there for your children. If you make the choice to have children, stick around as much as you can to raise them. Surrendering to marriage was a book about marriage can feel difficult, even hellish at times, but the grass is not greener on the other side. So love the person you're married to.
That's very, very good.
Especially if you have children. Surrendering to yourself was about finding your God and passion of the soul from within. And I Am My Mother's Daughter, which I'm just so happy to share. Making peace with mom before it's too late is about the urgent necessity to heal with your mother, especially adult daughters and their aging mothers, because that primary link, and I interviewed 116 women, they were ages 34 to 70. But what came clear in such a powerful way was that how we relate to our mothers as adult women, whether we love them or loathe them, reject them or embrace them, dramatically affects how we are able to receive love and to love. It is the primary relationship that forms what we all want most of all, is to feel and give love.
Now, is your mother still alive?
Oh, my mother is the inspiration of this book. All my books come out of my own female angst and boomer angst, I call it, and it seems to be what other women are feeling at the time. My mother, my steely, formidable, difficult, irrepressible, amazing, did I say difficult?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Mother who is
stubborn,
but you know, my mother, I think when you understand your mother's history, it will soften your heart. I grew up with a mother who is a Holocaust survivor. She lost her immediate family, brothers, sisters, parents, seven nieces and nephews to Hitler's death camps.
Her mother said, get away.
Her mother,
walk.
Dr. Schuller.
Get out of here.
She did.
Yeah.
And they were in Warsaw, Poland, and her mother said, you are the youngest. Her sisters and brothers were married with children. My mother fled Warsaw and went to France alone. And she was a hidden child taken in by Christians.
Your mother.
My mother, who hid her and saved her. And my mother lived openly as a Catholic. She changed her name from Steinberg to Moreau, and she lived openly as a Catholic in France, and it saved her life. In fact, one day, there was informers who would tell that these people acting like Christians were really Jews. And one day, somebody had informed the Nazis that my mother was really Jewish, and the Nazis came to her door, and they said, we know that you are Jewish. And my mother took a kitchen knife and she handed it to this Nazi soldier and she looked him dead in the eye. She was probably all of 18 years old. She said, if you want to take me, you're going to have to take me dead because I'm not going with you. And then she got down on her knees and she went like this and she said, maybe you have a daughter and maybe that will save me. And that Nazi soldier turned around and left. So my mother, time and time, was saved by the spiritual power of God, of her angels. And so I think, you know, when daughters aren't speaking to their mothers, and I interviewed a lot of women, Dr. Schuller, who hadn't talked to their aging mothers in months or years.
I can't imagine.
And I say, you can't say you're sorry at a funeral, but making your peace means that your mother, when she's ready to leave this world, knows that you love her and you did your best. And making your peace means, as a daughter, that you know, even if it didn't always feel like love, that what your mother was doing was out of love, that your mother loved you. When you know her history, it really, really can soften your heart. And you know, all our mothers are sometimes difficult. You said I went to Stanford. I'm very proud of that. And so many of the women that I went to school with, it was in the 70s when women were just starting to pioneer, you know, make inroads in medicine and law. And some of my Stanford graduating class were the first in the law classes and medical classes. And I would introduce these women to my mother, who always cared more about how you looked than what you said. And I'd introduce these women to my mothers, and these women would have split atoms or be working on cures for cancer. And I would introduce my girlfriends to my mother, and I'd say, well, Mom, what did you think? And they'd walk away, and she'd say to me in a loud voice, would it kill her to put a little lipstick on? So that's my mother. And I know that sounds familiar.
I've been listening to you now and checking the book. It looks like this is really written for daughters more than for mothers.
Yes.
But when there's reconciliation, it takes two to tango, you know. So isn't there a lot of cases where it's the mother that should be leading as much as the child?
Yes, and you know, to hear you say that, it's really about the healing power of love and forgiveness for men. Sons, daughters, it's a universal message. But since I'm a boomer woman, I wrote it from my own heart. All we can do is our very, very best. And our very best means we surrender, be it, that we yield to the higher power of love, and that we abandon our selfish egos. It doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong.
How do you abandon a selfish ego? That's easy for a journalist to say.
I know. I don't.
Now tell us, how do you abandon a selfish ego?
Oh, boy. Can we do that our next show?
Well, let me give you what's
okay.
Helped me. Just discover if you're ego-centered, make sure you're humble and honest, because if you're not, you're going to fall into a problem and your ego will have a blowout at high speed and heavy traffic.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know,
and you are humble and you're honest. That's why I like you very much.
Well, I like you very much, and I'm glad you're here today. But I was thinking, with the power of prayer, you know, when you pray and you're in a huge arena like this filled with light and love, it clears a huge and wondrous space in yourself for God to fill it and for forgiveness to fill it. When you say you're sorry to your mother, even if you're not sorry one bit, that clears a huge and wondrous space for two adult women to go forward in a renaissance relationship.
Absolutely.
That is, how, can you imagine being friends as two adult women with the mother who loves you more and knows you better than any girlfriend you'll ever have, and even more than your husband?
Yes, 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 yes. Sure, the husband didn't know what she was like.
He said, just look at the mother. That's what she's going to be like.
Well, if there's one thing you want everybody to take away from this interview, and be sure to look for him when they buy the book, and please go buy it. What do you want everybody here to take away from you?
I want everybody in this room, if you're getting along with your mother, pick up the phone and say, I love you. If you're not getting along with your mother, everybody listening and watching, pick up the phone. And if you can't say, I love you, say, I'm sorry. If you can't say, I'm sorry, say, how are you? Because you cannot say you're sorry at a funeral.
Very, very good. I beg you.
my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burden be, and I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But sometimes I feel I glimpse eternity.
Een fantastische bijdrage van de Engelse tenor. En wat kan die zingen? Russell Watson, You Raise Me Up. Eigenlijk bedoelt hij daarmee, ja, u brengt me er bovenop waar ik er zelf niet meer zie zitten. Daar gaat de preek straks ook over. En op deze zonovergoten zondagmorgen, prachtige zondagmorgen in juni, zijn we blij met weer een gasten uit Nederland. En dat is vanmorgen Betty Ruigrok. Betty, je hebt een heel druk leven als zakenvrouw. En je hebt een hele grote droom, die ben je nu aan het waarmaken.
Ja.
Dat is erg leuk als je daar zo meteen over vertelt. Maar vooral, je bent ook een trouwe kijker van Hour of Power, hè?
Sinds 7 jaar kijk ik naar Hour of Power. En dat geeft mij gewoon heel veel kracht om de week weer te beginnen. Ja, het is zoveel warmte, zoveel. En dominee Schule, die geeft je een boodschap mee. Iedere week weer positief. En dingen om over na te denken.
Het is dus niet zo dat je na een uur zegt, nou, nu heb ik het gehoord. En weer wat anders.
Nee. Nee, dan ben je er toch nog wel mee bezig. Dan denk je, ja, kan ik ook toch wel weer bij mij dingen toch wel weer even iets anders doen.
Is het een soort accu die je batterij oplaadt?
Ja. Ja, voor mij wel.
Zometeen gaat dominee Robert Anthony spreken over de serie Psalm 23. Wat vind je van deze jonge dominee?
Ik vind hem geweldig worden. Echt, ik vind hem helemaal. Hij maakt helemaal. Hij wordt helemaal wie hij is. En dat vind ik heel knap. Want het valt toch niet mee om naast je, met je vader, om dan ook zo te zijn. Want hij is helemaal nu zichzelf. Hij is wie. En ik vind hem erg goed worden.
Ja. Betty, je hebt een droom en die ben je nu aan het verwezenlijken.
Ja, wij waren met vrienden in Afrika voor vakantie. In Zuid-Afrika, een combinatie Namibië en Zuid-Afrika. En wij waren op zoek naar gewoon een kop koffie en wat te eten. En we kwamen daar een boerderij tegen. En de farmer die, oh, kom gezellig even bij ons. Kan je met de familie wat eten en zo. En gedurende die lunch vertelde die ons over de problemen in het dorp Omaruru. Over kinderen die daar in het riet lagen te slapen, onder bruggen. Er was één kinderhuis. En, maar ja, dat was gewoon verder helemaal niets. Hij zei, willen jullie de volgende morgen even met me gaan kijken? Dan heb je ook een idee. Nou, dat sprak mij heel erg aan, omdat ik altijd iets met kinderen toch heb. Dus wij zijn daar naartoe gegaan. En het was echt, wij zijn met tranen in onze ogen weggelopen.
Waarom tranen in je ogen?
De kinderen hebben geen uitdrukking in hun ogen meer. Kinderen van 2 jaar die gewoon, nou, als ik zit te vertellen, kijk ik ook weer tranen in mijn ogen. Maar die zo eigenlijk dood zijn al. Weet je, geen hoop. Geen hoop. En wij stonden buiten en hebben tegen elkaar gezegd, daar moeten we iets gaan doen. We zijn daar naar de plaatselijke makelaar gegaan. En daar hebben we 12 hectare grond kunnen kopen. Een oude melkerij.
En nu?
En nu. We zijn zo gelukkig. We hebben de eerste 6 kinderen. 7 hebben we er nu. We kunnen 16 kinderen hebben in het huis. En ja, we proberen ze een warm huis te geven. Voedsel, kleding. Ze krijgen een uniform. Gewoon hun huis. En tot ze een sprankje hoop hebben voor de toekomst. En ik denk dat je ergens moet beginnen om die kinderen education te geven. Onderwijs. Daar moeten we beginnen.
Er is een Joodse uitspraak en die zegt, als je 1 kind hebt gered, heb je eigenlijk de mensheid gered. Voel jij dat zo?
Ja. Ja, en wij willen nog veel meer. We kunnen daar een heel kinderdorp kunnen we daar.
Dat is je droom?
Ja. En er zijn zoveel kinderen die hulp nodig hebben. Zoveel ellende.
Deze kinderen zijn weeskinderen. Hoe komt dat?
Omdat hun ouders veel al gestorven zijn door AIDS.
Dat is wat?
Ja, dat is heel, heel, heel erg. En die gaan dan naar een familielid. Want in Namibië en Zuid-Afrika kennen ze geen weeshuis. Dat willen ze ook niet weten. Ze hebben familie, zegt ze, en dan gaan ze daar maar naartoe. Maar die families hebben soms zelf 12 kinderen. En die zitten niet te wachten op nog een extra mondje erbij. Dus wij hopen, we zijn begonnen. En we hopen te kunnen uitbouwen.
Betty, hartelijk dank voor je inspirerende verhaal. En ik hoop dat hopelijk ook anderen op het idee komen om wat te doen voor mensen in nood dichtbij of ver weg. Ik heb een herinnering voor je aan deze uitzending. Zelfs al ga ik door een dal. Dat is de prekenserie waar dominee Schuller nu over spreekt. Ik hoop dat je er veel in zult lezen. Betty,
dankjewel.
Alsjeblieft. Heel fijn.
Ik vond het geweldig om bij je te zijn. Dankjewel.
Ja, ik vond het geweldig om het je mogen ontvangen.
Dankjewel.
En als je het niet meer ziet zitten, hè, kijk dan even naar het kruis.
Dat heb ik gedaan. Dat wilde ik je zeggen. Tot ik stond daar op de berg. En toen was mijn man heel erg ziek. En toen stond ik daar op een heel groot houten kruisbeeld. En toen zei ik, God, wat moet ik nu? Maar hij heeft me wel geholpen.
Geweldig. Nou, fijn om zo'n enthousiast verhaal te horen. Betty Ruigrok was dat. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral waar dominee Schuller, dominee Robert Anthony, zometeen zijn prekenserie vervolgt. over zelfs al ga ik door een dal. En dat is dan ook het thema van de preek die we zo meteen gaan horen. En ik hoop dat u en jij, net als Betty, daar heel veel inspiratie voor krijgt. Niet alleen voor vandaag, maar ook voor de rest van de week. En we gaan eerst, voordat we naar Dominee Schoelen gaan luisteren, kijken naar en luisteren naar een van de beste zangeressen die we kennen, de gospelzangeressen Sheila Walsh. Prachtig verhaal, prachtig mens.
You know, the very toughest part of my life took place in 1983. And I shared a little bit with you last week how in 1983 I went through the horrible pain of divorce. And it was a very, very painful time. In fact, the most painful time for me was the period of time where I didn't feel like I could share it with anybody. There was something within me that made me think that if I shared it with people, it would take away the opportunity of mending the relationship. And so I kept it within as if I think it's what we call in psychology denial. You bury your head in the sand and you pretend it isn't there and don't tell anybody because maybe it'll just go away. And that for sure was the most painful period of my life, from October to December, where I just held it inside and I thought I was going to die. And not until I released it and allowed and shared it with my congregation did the comfort begin and the peace and the healing start. Wasn't until that time that the pain finally started to subside. It's important for us as God's people to be able to open up and to share the pain that we have with others and to allow other people into our pain so that we can experience others and others' love into our lives so we can find healing and hope and the goodness that God wants to give to us. Today, my text is from Psalm 23, the second verse, where the Bible says from the psalmist, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." I like that. I like the thought of laying down in a green pasture, laying up there and just feeling the warm sun on my face. I love that idea. This past week, I went and visited a friend of mine in Central California. He's a rancher. He and his wife, John and Carol Harris, invited me to come up there. So I went up there and I saw their ranch. It's a beautiful estate, and they took us for a drive. And we drove across the bridge. There's a river that runs in front of their house. And they took us out to their pastures, and I saw the cattle grazing, and I saw this the most beautiful stand of great big giant old oak trees. And mixed in with these old oak trees, there was an old big old sycamore here and there. And the wildlife and the beauty and the sound of the river. I wanted to throw a blanket out in the meadow and just lay there and soak in the sun. It was so nice. And it reminded me of our words today. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I picture a carpet of velvet grass. And laying in this cool grass and the sun on our face and the coolness on our back, we feel the peace and the comfort that comes into our lives. When we start to invite Jesus Christ and others to help carry the burden that we have today. We heard a wonderful testimony today of a woman who comes and reignites her love with her mother. And I want to encourage you to do the same with those who are around you today. I want to help you ignite the love for your spouse, for your children, for your parents, for people who are around you who need to feel your love and whose love you need in your life. To help you through the toughest times, we need to feel the love of others. It begins by tapping the negative and releasing the positive. It begins by us putting together a list of positive things that we have and that we know and that exist about the people who are closest to us. And this week, I want you to do some homework. Here's the homework I want you to do. Get a few pieces of paper and write across the top of that paper the following names: Mom on one page, Dad on another, and then choose three other significant people in your lives. It may be your children, it may be your brothers or your sisters, but three other significant people. So you have five large pieces of paper, 8.5 by 11 lined pieces of paper, and you have these names written on the top. Now the next task is to go and to fill those pages in by writing positive things and things you admire about these people. And what happens in this process of recognizing and writing positive things is that positive thoughts continue to enter our mind, and at the same time we continue to search and look for positive things. And in the process of looking for positive things, guess what will happen to you? You will find positive things, because you will always find what you look for. In the Second World War, there was a statue in a small French community of Jesus Christ. And this statue was, unfortunately blown up by one of the bombs. And so what happened is it was a statue which was so important to all of the people in the community that they went and they gathered as many pieces as they could of this wonderful piece, and they meticulously put it back together again. But they could never find the hands. The hands were blown to smithereens and there was nothing left. So many of the people thought, well, we'll commission more, some new hands to be put on there and sculpted and placed on there. And the decision was made, no, we will leave the hands as they are. And on the statue, the base of the statue, were written these words, Christ has no hands, but our hands. And it inspired this poem. I have no hands but your hands to do my work today. I have no feet but your feet to lead men on the way. I have no tongue but your tongue to tell men how I died. I have no help but your help to bring men to God's side. And today, Jesus Christ wants to bring out the best of us. He wants to use us to bring out the best in others. Would Jesus Christ, if he were here, tell people who are around us how terrible we are? Would Jesus Christ point out all of the mistakes and the shortcomings that our spouse has, or our children have, or our employers and employees have? Or instead, would he say, you are the light of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are God's child. You are made in the image of God. Would he have positive things to say about everybody? I believe he would. And today, God is asking you to share the positive message of the beauty that is within every single human being by recognizing that beauty. By declaring that beauty. By writing it down. And then when you have 20 positive things to share it. To share it with another. Jesus Christ doesn't want us to keep everything to ourselves, but he wants us to share it with another. And if it's too tough to do it personally, just fold it up and mail it. And if your mother and your father are deceased, then put it in your Bible and send it to them through the Word of God. And let them know. Let them know. Let them know that the healing in your heart is taking place. That the healing has come to a point where you can share, where you can love, where you can recognize the positive and the goodness. And that God can forgive. And that God can heal. And that God can bring wholeness and goodness into our lives. The other option is we can spend the rest of our lives boxing with God. Spend the rest of our lives holding on to the grudges and the criticism and the pain and all of, and holding on to all of those negative memories. And if that's the way you want to live, it's your freedom. But here's what the prophet Isaiah says about this. 59:1, he says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. And our arms are too short to box with God. So today is the day to take the gloves off. To recognize the positive in people. Our parents, our children, our brothers, our sisters, our significant others. And to share it with them. And to recognize who they are. Shannon was only a young girl when she started watching The Hour of Power. She started hearing the positive messages that you can do wonderful things if you come to God, if you pray, and if you dream. So she lived her life actually in fear. And that's how she was introduced to The Hour of Power. Her mother was a severe alcoholic. And so she would go to bed in fear every night. She would often hide, and she would turn the television off to drown out the noise. And one morning when she woke up, she heard this voice saying, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And it woke her up. And she started watching The Hour of Power. And she started thinking, you know, if that's true, maybe he could help me accomplish some of my dreams. And she says, "I want to be the first chair in the clarinet." So she started practicing her clarinet, and she started praying, and she became first chair clarinet. And she saw how that worked, and she thought, well, maybe I could continue with another dream that I have, and that's the Future Farmers of America. And so she started working on that, and sure enough, she succeeded in Future Farmers of America. And with some success and the realization that God answers prayer, she reached out where she needed it the most. She needed God to heal her mother, to heal her of the alcoholism, and to bring healing and hope to her family. And so she started telling her mother that she needed to go to AA, that she was an alcoholic. That didn't go over real well. In fact, she called AA and asked them to come over and take her mother to an AA meeting. They came to the door and knocked on the door and said, "We're here to take you to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting." That went over real big. Well, she said every time we got together, we would fight and we would scream. And I would try and get all the bottles I could and throw them away. And I remember one time, it was the last bottle that my mother had, and I found it and I threw it away. And when she woke up, she was so angry. She started screaming obscenities and yelling that I hate you. And she came pounding. I ran to my bedroom and closed the bedroom door, and she pounded on the door. And then I realized she had a knife in her hand, and the knife came through the door. She said it was then that I started praying like I'd never prayed before. And I heard God say, "Open the door." In her prayer, she said, "You gotta be nuts. Open the door. My mother's standing out there with a knife. She wants to kill me. She hates me." And once again, she heard the word of God in her prayer say, "Open the door and say, I'm sorry. And apologize." Courage is having the ability to do what we know we need to do. It's not a feeling that comes within us. Terror is a feeling within us. Courage is the ability to do what needs to be done in the face of terror. And she opened the door. And she said, "Mother, I'm sorry. I apologize. I love you, Mother." And that was a turning point. Sometime after that, Shannon's mother went to AA. got sober. And today her mother goes around sharing with people how they can be sober as well. God is in the process of healing. He's in the process of allowing us to be freed from the circumstances which hold us back and keep us down. And today God wants to bring you to the green pastures and bring peace to your soul and to your family and to your life. And so I invite you today to take a positive look at all those who are around you today and share positive words that you might truly experience the positive reality of God in your life. And it starts by recognizing who they are in Christ. That God created them just the way they are for a purpose and for a reason. And it's up to us to recognize the beauty that is within, to see it, to share it, and to be the voice of Jesus Christ in the household, not trying to set everybody straight, just to love everybody we meet. That's our calling. That's our calling. Give us courage, O Lord. Give us courage, O Lord, to trust you, to open our hearts and the doors of our minds to experience the blessings that you have for us today. For you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. You came that we might experience the joy and the blessings. You came that we might feel your love. And so wrap us, O God, in your protective armor. Your armor that is impenetrable. The armor that comes into the very core of our being. The armor of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so with this armor, O Lord, we face our fears today. And we open the doors to a bright and beautiful tomorrow. We love you, Lord. Amen. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give you the courage, give you the faith, give you the insight and the wisdom to be able to recognize the beauty in everyone you meet. Amen.
En ik hoop dat dit een zeer inspirerende uitzending voor iedereen was, met als thema de preek van dominee Schuller, Zelfs al ga ik door een dal. Titel van het gelijknamige boek, wat al eerder door Out of Power Nederland is uitgegeven, over die prachtige, meest gelezen, meest bekende psalm, psalm 23. En misschien wilt u of jij uit dat boek lezen. Dat kan. Op onze website is te vinden hoe je dit boek kunt verkrijgen. Je kunt ook bellen 035 538 0588. En alle reacties zijn van harte welkom. Wij wensen iedereen een hele goede zondag toe. En graag tot volgende week. En ga je op vakantie? Hour of Power is wereldwijd te volgen. Een hele fijne tijd toegewenst. En als je in Nederland blijft, tot volgende week.